I'm sure when you read chapters like chapter 37 in the book of Genesis, you would say with me that, well, if you were speaking to Jacob just now regarding what had happened during this time in his experience, you would have some questions to ask him. You would feel that Shechem was not a good place to go. When you read in chapter 34 and chapter 35, there would be a harm that had come to Dinah. That area, there had been murder, there had been disgrace, and there were memories for Jacob, surely, even of his own disobedience to God. He was a man who was hard to read at times, and certainly one who seemed at times to behave in a very unwise way. And here he had his sons, they were out at Shechem with the flocks, in spite of everything that had happened in the past. And I think it's true to say that we all are vulnerable, and sometimes bad memories do not entice us to revisit a place or an area. You will sometimes yourself even think, well, there's a place I don't have good memories of there, and I have no wish to go back and to be present in that place again. Well, we see here in these chapters that Jacob didn't seem to really see things that way. And it shows us something which is very, very much to the forefront here. It is that man's rationale is always imperfect. It is always imperfect. And his motivation can follow through thinking that is tainted by wrong desire. And indeed, we could say by sin itself. And therefore, we can make the same mistakes over and over and over again. Now, we have to say here regarding the sons of Jacob that his sons had a part to play in going there to begin with. Shechem was probably about 50 miles north of the homestead where they lived, and they were very capable, and they showed themselves this, and they were going to do it again, of being men who were ruthless, and they were men who had jealousy in their hearts. Some might say, oh, but there was new pasture there. Well, there was new pasture there, but there was in this place to begin a sequence of events that would lead to unspeakable cruelty, that would have these men going around harboring for years awful guilt and living for years in terrible restlessness. Now they were keen, we have to say, to push the boundaries. And that really is the title that I've given to the message this morning, Pushing the Boundaries. Just by the way here, and you may know this yourself, that the title Shechem, it means shoulder. It means shoulder. It was a Levitical city, and the district there was Levitical as well, and it was associated with Mount Ephraim, it was associated with sacrifice. But you can say also concerning Shechem that it was the seat of Samaritan worship. John chapter 4, when the Lord Jesus was speaking to the woman there at the well, the Samaritan woman, Gerizim was mentioned. That is, was the mount that was there where they worshipped. So it was a place associated with sacrifice and worship. And you will know that Shechem was one of the cities of refuge that were picked out to be such by the Lord. So here was a place of sacrifice and worship and safety. But they partly had made it for themselves due to their behavior in the past regarding the Dinah situation and so on. They had made it a place that was very dubious for them to be found in. It was a place, if you think for a moment, a place where they ought to have known that things would not go well for them. They were well away from Jacob at this time. As we mentioned, they were 59 or so away. So already in Shechem, they were probably not in the best of areas. Well, that's for sure. They were not in the best of areas. We blame the boys, but we also blame Jacob. I say, what were you thinking about sending them out there to Shechem again to look after the sheep? words that are very telling in this passage are the words that you find there that tell us that they went to a place called Dothan in verse 17. It says there, let us go to Dothan. And that shows us that Shechem, being what it was, they still wanted to push the boundaries. And folks, we're living in days when the boundaries are being pushed. And I know sometimes, and I hope I don't do it, people will use this as an opportunity to just hammer young people and say, oh, you're pushing the boundaries here, there, and young there. And sometimes that does happen, but we cannot simply say that as young people are pushing the boundaries. I mentioned to you earlier on, evangelicals, people that ought to know better if they believe the word of God. And yet they are constantly pushing the boundaries, and when some of them who may be very influential are pushing the boundaries, that affects other people as well. And hence we have a situation right across Northern Ireland today where the boundaries in so many ways are being pushed. You'll hear people come on and they'll tell to you a half-truth regarding something that they ought to know is wrong. And in that way they will try to get through. They will not denounce sin as sin. A pushing of the boundaries. And a big part of the problem today in Northern Ireland, and it's long been on the mainland as this, is that there is great discontent. That if we live in a day when everything seems to change, people change their cars maybe more often, and people, everything seems to change so quickly, and it's the thought of change and difference in the country, and it's not happening quick enough, and you know, we need something else, and we need to keep moving on. What was good enough for years and years just suddenly isn't good anymore. Discontent. And this is really the first point I have here in pushing the boundaries. I want to say that discontent can be very dangerous. It can be very dangerous. It says there that they went to Dothan. You find them in Dothan, verse 17. The title Dothan, and the title of places always meant something in those days. It had the meaning of two wells, or it also had the meaning of double face. Now, does that not make it attractive? A place of a double face. And then here, with very little that was wholesome and good in their plans, they go to Dothan. They go to Dothan. And you can see here regarding Dothan, well, it was something that offered fresh pasture for their flocks. That's the first thing. But you need to look beyond that. Remember, these boys were self-consumed. And it was something that offered something new for them. They were self-seekers. And the further they got away from the farm, we have another situation where here are men, they're getting further away from the father's house. Want to push the boundaries, and they want to get as far away as they can. They're discontent. They could not tell me that they could not find good pasture within 60 or 70 miles of home, but rather they want to push it on and out. And that, of course, reminds us of the well-known story in Luke 15, the prodigal. His heart already was in the far country down before his feet ever got there, that's for sure. And by the way, there is so with some. He was bored there with routine. He had no heart, a love for his own company there. And he was very keen to not be under the influence of his father. In fact, and I do not wish to be unduly harsh upon him, but he almost wishes that his father was dead because he wanted the amount of goods that would have come to him if in the natural process of time his father had passed away and left him something. He wanted to die. So his thinking was all wrong. His heart was in the far country. I don't know for how long, but it certainly was there a long time before his feet ever got there. You see, it was all new to him, and the far country still calls loudly today with a sweet voice and an alluring voice. And folks, we have to say there's a well-worn path leading from the father's house to the far country. And what a lesson there is for us all. What a lesson you look around you and you want to see how many Protestants are interested in the Reformation, be prepared for a bit of surprise. Some will say it was a mistake, the Reformation. Others will say that we need to try our best, and they're working hard at this at the minute, by the way, to undo its workings. And that is bad enough when you're looking at churches and organizations that you know are a Davis hacker. But it's very frightening whenever it's found among evangelicals. It is showing us, men and women, that, in my opinion and the opinion of many others, that if our country is still calling loudly, the call is we're more in common than there is that separates us. Therefore, we can have fellowship together. And I really do feel for young people growing up, people my age, and some of you that are older than that as well, we can stand up for ourselves. We know what we believe and why we believe it. And there'll be no changing of us. We're too old for that. But for some young people, that call is there. And your friends might be listening to it. That call to go into the far country. To get away from this reformed worship that you're involved in. To go where the crowd is and get in with the music and get into the place where you get a little bit of a lift through what is going on there. And all the time they're thinking, well, you know, we're not really telling them we're in fellowship with Rome. And it seems all around us that there seems to be places of a double face. Places just like Dothan that appeal to men and women. See, the bottom line is that the Bible and its teaching and the plainness of its teaching and how it provides for us and it shows us how to live and all the different experiences of life and how to worship the Lord and who we worship with and what we seek to do for Him. It is all not good enough anymore. It's not really what men and women, what I mentioned to you, those meetings in the school, where I think 20 odd parents have come and said, no, children come alone, talking about sin, don't want it. And not to well be a thin end of the wedge. I've been speaking to other men as well who are, you know, that I do be in American college and I seem to be able to get a speaking clearly there, no one's curtailed me yet, or longer than junior high school it is, but in some schools men are being more or less told what we have to say. And every year it's getting worse. And I talk with Christians and say, hold on, before you cannot put a tract through the door anymore that states the Bible as a fact, that a man is a sinner, before you get into trouble for that. You might have to say, in my opinion, or this is what the Bible shows, or it's not really a fact. We need men and women to understand the fact of their sin. But how much longer before you can't pardon that, even from the pulpit? Before you cannot tell or preach the word as it is. And I understand that in days when there doesn't seem to be many people being converted, yesterday at the day of prayer, for those of you who were there, you will know that there was great emphasis on the barrenness. When the Reverend Johnson was bringing the word, the awful barrenness that there is. And people can think, well, I'm tired of this. Well, if you're going to similar congregations, that's what you're going to find everywhere. But you will find other demons. And men and women out there in Ulster will find other places, but they will not be places that will tell them about justification by faith alone. And how we cannot be associated with that which peddles false religion. Of course, we don't want to people thinking we come along as bigots, or we come along as harsh on anyone. But I just point this out to you and show you that there's great danger in discontent with God's word. Great danger in that. I think I told you the story here long ago, and if I didn't, I'm telling you now that there was a person that I was friends with, and when I first got saved, I got interested in evening meetings as well as the morning. I wanted to come along, speaking to this person, and they said to me, well, what do you do? You want to sit at home like the brethren and read your Bible? I thought, well, the brethren have a good testimony, must make people talk about it. And of course, I don't sit at home all day and read the Bible all day on Sunday. But I want to be in God's house. I love Port Rush and Port Stewart and all them places, but there's 600 days of the week. And I want to be found in God's house, and that friendship petered out way back in those days. I mean, you think, brothers and sisters, that you and I are beyond being caught up in this. Remember those who walked closely with the Lord, and when multitudes had been stopping, following after him, he turned and he asked them a question that must have stunned them. But then when they thought a little bit about it, maybe it wasn't out of place. He said to them, "Will ye also go away? Will ye also go away?" And folks, that is the question that comes to my mind today. When we consider it all, will ye also go away? And I just want to, if in a couple of years' time Pope Francis comes to Northern Ireland, there'll be a very small voice raised in opposition to that. A very small voice indeed. As far as the church life, church people are concerned. So this place was new to them. It appealed to them, and it seemed to take them away from where they already were. They went to the place of a double face. We have to ask ourselves today, are we happy with the Word? Happy to listen to the Word, to have the Word, to have fellowship with God's people? Or is it a tinkering that we want something more than the Bible to satisfy us? And to meet our need. But this also was a place of no limitations. One of the words you will hear most often today when people are speaking of their aspirations is, I was going to say freedom, or you could call it perceived freedom. These sons of Jacob, they loved the counsel of their own hearts. Just like Absalom, David's son, remember him? He loved the counsel of his own heart. I know that what he did was terrible regarding his own father. But nonetheless, we cannot deny the fact that so often, and it's a very solemn thought, people who did love the Word and did love gospel witness now have the counsel of their own hearts. You see, it lose out, isn't it? Starts off in a small way. And there seems to be freedom there, away from the responsibilities and the restrictions of walking with the Lord. And then we see a place of no limitations. A place of freedom where we can go along and we can do really what we like. But once you do that, you're just like Joseph's brothers. Joseph's brothers stepped into enemy territory. They stepped into enemy territory. And there they were open to fierce attack. And there's still such a place today. Not such a place today. And it calls for not only your attention, folks, it calls for our allegiance. This place calls for our allegiance. This place of a, you could call it liberal thinking. People can call it other things, but it really is liberal thinking. A place of lowering the shade. A place of no longer valuing the cardinal doctrines of the Word of God that were fought for tooth and nail during the Reformation time. That place calls for men and women today to come and to that double feast and to be part of that. But I want to say to you today very clearly that you're not obliged to go there. You're not obliged to go there. Over there in 1 Peter. It says in 1 Peter, and if I read it for you, it says there in chapter 5, verse 7. Of course, it says, casting on your care for them who care for you. Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions that are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who have called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, make you perfect or mature, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Folks, there is a battle. The devil is busy, as the Bible shows here. And he is going about as a roaring lion, which is frightening, seeking to devour you and to take your testimony, take your usefulness, and to take your resolve to be one of those men or women who are daring to contend for the faith. And it says here that after you have suffered a while, and we do in the battle, it says says here that he will make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. And therefore, we're not obliged to go to Dothan. We're not obliged to show in any way to yield to the thought of discontent with the word of God. You know, when the hymn writer gave the words, Jesus, keep me near the cross, I wonder what was in their mind. Their precious fountain. And you and I, every day, we would do well to offer that prayer to the Lord. Jesus, keep me near the cross. There are precious things. Remember Caleb? Caleb was greatly outnumbered by people who were wanting to build a feast. Things were okay, just as they were at the present time. He knew that there was far better ahead. But he knew that it wouldn't come without battle. There were giants in the land. There were walled cities. It was a land that flowed with milk and honey, but they contented themselves with what was easy. See, that is another problem today. Taking the way of least resistance. And it's a great danger for God's people too to fall into that trap. You do not, you're not obliged to go that way and neither am I. Caleb was one who, it says of him that he was a man of another spirit. He fully followed the Lord. And really what we're talking about here today, this discontent that is dangerous, it really is sin. Someone said that sin is always seeking to step up the ladder of dominance in our life. Therefore, we must stay close to the Lord and stay in close communion with Him. It is sin that causes us to always want to justify what we do. Remember what we said about God's rationality? It is always imperfect. The Bible is always right. The teaching of the Word is always right. And it is sin to try to rationalize and explain away the truth of God's word. That's what thousands are doing today. In order that they might somehow or other accommodate the thinking of the world. You read the Bible about the course of this world, thinking of the spirit of the age. People are afraid. You understand that? People are afraid to be seen. Not to be associated with the spirit of the age. And the spirit of the age does not equate with your reformed thinking and with your belief concerning the word of God. And therefore there is that work that we call sanctification in the Bible that goes on in the life of the believer, and it requires more and more dying unto sin and living unto God. And therefore there is that need for continual progression, in order that we might be those who are not discontent with what God has to give us. Folks, there was a great hankering here in these boys for Dothan, for that place of the double feast. And when the land of Dothan appears attractive and it appeals to the senses and it seems innocent and even helpful, remember this, it was enemy territory. It was enemy territory that they went into. And when you go into enemy territory, I say that you will lose. And I will lose. So there is great danger in discontent with the word of God. And we can take you today to people who have brought up their children the very best they possibly can. And they've gone to do them. I can take you people who were helpful to me as a young Christian. They're not children anymore. That's true. God to do them. And it seems that they despise the things that they used to love. They despise the things. So there is a huge, we have here these fellows, and they're pushing the boundaries. Now we know that one thing led to another regarding Joseph, and they ended up selling him into Egypt. But looking at them here, on their behavior, there was a discontent which was very dangerous. But I want to mention, secondly, here, and we get as fast as we can, that true love is steadfast. True love is steadfast. Joseph was already firm, we knew that. We may ask the question, was he naive or just being stupid? And even going to where they were. But he did it anyway. And he went there with the coat on him that they had spined. And that was another mistake that it seems Jacob made in seeking to make such a fuss about him and showing that he loved him more than the others. And Jacob, as I say, he had a few questions to ask him. if you were talking to him. But he was obedient to the Father here in fulfilling the duties and giving him. And in spite of everything, he went out with love in his heart. If you look at the word there, you will see that he went out to seek them in verse 16. It says that he said, I seek my brethren. Come now, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. He was hated, rejected, and envied. And you know something? That's like you are today in the world. Or your message at least out today in the world. Hated, rejected, and, we'll not use the word envy, but hated and rejected. And yet the Christian goes out to seek that which is lost for the Lord with your message. People may say, if you're looking at 50 or 60,000 pounds to post, to print and post literature for 1.8 million people, how many houses that is, 700 and something thousand houses, you're mad. Well, you're not mad if you're loving your heart for the souls of men and women. And if you look at it in another way here, there can be that brother or sister who's got out of step with the Lord. We don't want to tramp them down any further. But rather, we want to try and lift them up. We want to try and help them. And try and encourage them. You'll see here there was great diligence in the search because he went after them when he heard where they had gone to. I just want to say this today to us all as individuals. Every day, out of away from fellowship with God, is fraught with danger. Misery. And the thought of losing it. And I asked today my own heart, do I have this kind of concern that Joseph had here for his brethren? I no doubt that he knew what Joseph was. He knew the danger that was there. And yet he went out in seeking after his brethren. There's not only here his diligent search and his desire to seek them, but there was to his delight because he found them. He found them there. Might be hard for him to know what to say to them. But these men at this stage were filled with venom towards him. And folks, when you go out and try to win men and women to Christ, and you don't go in an argument where you just go and you preach the gospel or you converse the gospel as it is, sometimes people may react in a hostile way to you, but very often they will not react in a hostile way, but in their heart there is that resentment of the message. And I say that just by way of preparation for you as young people especially. Be prepared to be marginalized. Be prepared to be marginalized. People might not be particularly nasty to you, but you'll find that if you're seeking to live for the Lord as Joseph was, and you're seeking after your friends there, trying to win them to the Lord, and your love for them is steadfast as the Lord's love is towards his people, they'll not always be appreciated. And you will find yourself very often being marginalized. One final thought here is this. It is sin, when it is exposed, often brings resentment. It often brings resentment. Did you see what they say there concerning him? What about this dreamer? Says there in verse 19, and they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. What he said to them earlier was stuck with them. Remember he said to them about, and now he didn't speak in the wise of ways, but he spoke about the dream and about the sheaves and so on and how they'd be serving him. That didn't sit well with them. They were still very much in their thoughts. And whenever they saw him coming, that reminded them themselves, how they were. And sin, whenever it is brought to the attention of men and women, often brings resentment. And folks, sin is exposed ultimately by God. And as a congregation, it is our responsibility to be his messengers, to go to nets to reach men and women, to recognize that there is a place called Dothan with the double face, where there will be nothing but misery and hardship and danger, and to seek to win them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And in doing that, you will face discouragement, setbacks. You will face them from quarters that you never maybe dreamt that they would come from. And yet that discouragement will come your way. And I trust today that the Lord will enable all of us. He will help us as this country is hankering and hungering after Dothan, the place of the double feast. There's no wine making man. You know, material God is there. The will seems to be broken in some ways in the evangelical church. I know people in this country are sending out lots of literature to other countries, and that is all good. But right on our doorstep, there is tremendous need. Tremendous need. I speak to some of the men who've been in Presbury for a long time, and some of them even from the 1950s and so on, and 60s. And what a change there's been in this country. How's it going to be in another 10 years, 20 years? Are things keep on just as they are? Are things begin to tighten up regarding the liberty that we now enjoy? We have a great responsibility, but we're so glad that we have a great opportunity. And remember this, as we mentioned earlier, true love is always steadfast. We need to ask the Lord to help us to look beyond men and women's behavior and to see their hearts, to see their need, and have that love for them, to go out after them, to seek them, and to try to win them through the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that the Lord is on the side of his gospel and on the side of his people. We do trust today that if you don't know the Lord, if you remember the word that we mentioned earlier on, Shechem, which means shoulder, if you're preaching that today, it brings us to Christ. It says there in Isaiah 53 that he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrow. He takes the burden of sin away. We do that for you today if you're not saved. And if you say, well, if I got saved, there's still many issues, he takes the brunt of trouble as well. Doesn't mean to say all the trouble goes away. He takes the burden of sin away. He takes the brunt of trouble away. But he takes the broken hearted away. And that's all sin gives you. A broken heart. He takes it away and he gives you a new heart. A heart that is done for what he leaves done for your soul. We do thank you for listening.